Assalamu alaikum students. Welcome to another lecture in financial management. On behalf of Virtual University, Ministry of Science and Technology, Pakistan, and Mubashir Humayun, I welcome you to this lecture where we will be talking about stocks. In the previous lectures, we have spoken about one kind of direct claim security, which is bonds. And bonds are a kind of long-term debt instrument. And now we're going to start talking about, in detail, the other kind of direct claim security, which is known as stocks or shares. So the first thing to understand about shares or stocks is that they represent ownership. جیسے کہ میں نے پہلے ذکر کیا شیئرز یا حصص جو ہیں وہ مالکیت کا ثبوت ہے شیئر ہولڈرز آر پارٹ اونرز ان اے کمپنی اف یو ٹیک اے لک ایٹ دا بیلنس شیٹ فرام فائنینشیل اکاؤنٹنگ دین دا شیئرز دیٹ آر ایشوڈ بائی اے کمپنی ان آرڈر ٹو ریز کیپیٹل اپیئر in the liability side of the balance sheet under the equity section. However, shares that are purchased by a company as investment from the open market appear under the marketable security side of the balance sheet, which is the asset side. Generally, when we are talking about the issuance of shares, then we are referring to shares as a liability. Now, we mentioned that shares are direct claim securities, and what that means is that the share is a piece of paper, and I showed you an example of a share certificate earlier in this course. Basically, it is a legal contractual piece of paper or certificate. It shows the name of the company. It shows the par value or the face value of the share. And it also tells the shareholder and it indicates that he is the legal shareholder and part owner in that particular company. Now, you need to keep in mind that shares are distinct from bonds. Bonds are debt instruments, whereas shares are equity instruments. The other thing to remember about shares is that the par value of the share is the value of the share at the time that it is issued. That is what is printed on the share. But the market value of a share after it has been issued and while it is being traded in the open market will move up and down depending on the investor confidence in that company and depending on the supply and demand conditions in the market. So please don't confuse the par value of the share which is printed on the share certificate with the market value of the share. We spoke about the value of direct claim securities as being derived from the value of the underlying asset. So let us first ask ourselves the question that when a company decides to raise equity, why should it choose raising money through equity or shares rather than through debt or bonds? What are the advantages of raising money through equity? اگر کسی کمپنی کو کیپٹل ریز کرنا ہو تو ایکویٹی کی صورت میں ریز کرنے کا کیا فائدہ ہے؟ اس کا جواب یہ ہے کہ ایکویٹی بیسکلی الاؤز اینڈ گیوز دا فلیکسیبلٹی دیٹ you do not have to make regular interest payments. As I mentioned earlier, in the case of bonds and debt, you have undertaken a promise to pay regular interest installments to the lender or to the bond holder. But in the case of equity capital, money that you have received in exchange for which you have issued a share certificate, you do not have to pay any regular fixed interest. Therefore, you are not obligated to pay the shareholder a fixed amount of dividend. At least there is no obligation for you to pay the common shareholders. We will talk in a minute about another kind of share where you do pay a regular fixed dividend. So there is more flexibility in terms of the payments that are associated with shares rather than with bonds. We also mentioned that the value of a direct claim security, because it is derived from the underlying real asset, can be thought of as a piece of paper that generates a certain cash flow over the future. Let me explain this in different terms. The share certificate is a piece of paper. It is a security that represents some other real assets. And this share certificate generates future cash flows. What are the future cash flows from a share certificate? One, the dividends that you receive as a shareholder. What are dividends? Dividends are those portion of the net income or the net profit that you calculate from the profit and loss statement. And whatever portion of the net income the board of directors or the management decides should be distributed to the shareholders will constitute the dividend payout. So just to understand the concept of the share, for example, if there is a textile company that needs to raise 1 million rupees for investment in weaving looms, then it has the option to raise this money through debt or bonds, or it can raise the money through equity or shares. If the company decides to raise the money through equity, then it will issue share certificates worth 1 million rupees and sell them to various interested investors. And in return for issuing the share certificates to them, the company will receive capital in the form of equity. Now, why do these share certificates carry value? As I mentioned, share certificates that have been purchased by shareholders will carry value because they have cash flows associated with them in the future. These cash flows are the cash flows from dividends or profits and the cash flows from capital gain or the possibility that the price of the share might increase with time. Where are the cash flows for these share certificates coming from? Well, quite simply, it is a direct claim security which has an underlying real asset. So, the share certificates of a textile weaving factory have cash flows associated with them that are coming from the cash flows from the real asset. What is the real asset? The real asset for this company are the looms and the fabric that is manufactured by these looms, and the cash flow is coming from the sale of the fabric in the market. So the company has real assets. These real assets are manufacturing fabric, which is a real asset, this real asset fabric is sold in the market, company generates cash receipts and cash inflows from the sale of the fabric, and from these cash inflows, the company is in a position to pay dividends to the shareholders. So this is the connection between real assets that we spoke about earlier on in the course and securities and direct claim securities like stocks. Now, in the case of Pakistan, generally speaking, share certificates carry a par value of 10 rupees. This is not always the case. Share certificates can carry different values, like 50 rupees perhaps. But by and large, most of the public listed companies whose shares are traded in the stock exchanges carry a par value of 10 rupees. And please remember that this par value that is stated on the share certificate was the value of the share, and this was the price of the share at the time it was issued. But after that, once the share is being traded in the open market, the market price of this share will move up and down depending on the supply and demand conditions and the perceptions of the investor. Now, there are, as I mentioned, three stock exchanges where the shares are traded publicly. One of them is in Karachi. It's known as the Karachi Stock Exchange. There is the Lahore Stock Exchange, and there is the Islamabad Stock Exchange. So these are markets where shares are traded. There are two broad kind of shares that we talk about. One of them is known as the common share, and the other type is known as the preferred share. So let us talk about the characteristics of each. The first one is the common share or the common stock. It's called common because, well, for one, it is more common than the preferred stock. It is common in the sense also that it is issued to the general public. And this is a share certificate that represents ownership. Anybody who is a common stockholder is a part owner in the company. And as a part owner, this shareholder has a claim on a certain portion of the net profit in the form of dividend. In addition to this, common shareholders have voting rights, which means that they can be elected to the board of directors, and they have a say in the way the company is managed. So these are two of the very common traits of common shares. Now, it's important to understand that the cash flows associated with common shares will be used later on by us to calculate the price, the expected or theoretical price of this share. And then we can compare this theoretical price to the actual market price. Now, as I mentioned, there are two sources for cash flows. One of them is the dividends, and the other is the capital gains for the common stockholder. When you talk about the cash flows from dividends, then for the common stock, these cash flows are unpredictable and changing. In other words, when you recall from bond valuation the fact that the cash flows associated with bonds, particularly coupon receipts, were generally constant and fixed and regular in the time interval. That's why we could use the annuity formula for the cash flows associated with coupons in bonds. But when we're talking about common shares, the expected dividends are not fixed. They change depending on what the net income of the company is that year, and also depending on what the board of directors decides, how much should be distributed to the shareholders, and how much should be retained and reinvested in the company. So this is what makes the exercise of valuing or pricing a common share different from that of pricing a bond. Now, let's talk briefly about the other kind of equity or share, that is the preferred stock. Why is it called preferred? Because, simply speaking, the preferred stockholders have a preference, a higher preference, in the event that the company goes bankrupt or is liquidated, then the preferred stockholders have a higher claim than the common stockholders in terms of repossessing their money by selling the assets of the company. That's why it's called preferred stock. Now, the preferred stock is what is known as a hybrid equity, in the sense that it is a combination or a mix of a bond and a stock. Why is that? Quite simply speaking, the preferred stock gives the stockholder a fixed amount of dividend, which is specified by the company beforehand. So the preferred stockholder knows that he will be getting a fixed amount of dividend at regular intervals in time, and that is just like a bond coupon. However, the preferred stock is not a debt instrument. It is equity, and it represents ownership. The only difference is that this piece of paper that represents ownership carries with it a fixed and regular dividend cash flow stream. Later on, when we are estimating the price of shares, then this will simplify our calculation because we can use our formulas of annuity and perpetuity in calculating the value of a preferred share. Now, let's move on to the area of stock price valuation. In other words, how do we estimate what the price, the fair or intrinsic value of a share should be? Firstly, let's take the case of preferred stock. This is the simpler of the two. We're going to address and analyze pricing in one of two ways. We will decide whether we have to invest our money for a very, very long or possibly infinite period of time, and we will call that the perpetual investment, or we will decide to invest for a limited time only. This decision will guide the kind of mathematics and formula that we will use to compute the price. So let's first take a look at the case of estimating the price of a preferred stock if we plan to invest perpetually, or if we are planning to invest in that share and hold it for a very, very long period of time. Now, what does this mean? It means that if you buy the preferred stock, you will be receiving a constant and fixed and regular amount of dividend forever or perpetually. And this is identical in terms of the cash flow pattern to what we saw earlier when we were studying perpetuities at the beginning of this course. So the estimated price or present value of a preferred stock under perpetual investment is equal to the dividend divided by R sub PE. It's very important to understand the interpretation of R sub PE This is the required rate of return that is expected by the investor who is investing his money in the preferred stock or preferred equity. And how is this expected rate of return determined? Once again, the investors expect to receive a rate of return from the investment that is at least as high as the markup that they can receive from a PLS account in a bank. So in the case of Pakistan, you can receive 9 to 10% per annum from a bank account. And because an investment in a stock is generally more risky than depositing your money in a bank, you as an investor would expect a higher rate of return from the preferred stock. So the R sub PE in the case of Pakistan should certainly be higher than 10%. Now let's talk about the selling price in the case of a perpetuity. We're talking about perpetual investment in a preferred stock, and you're planning to hold this stock forever or perpetually. Therefore, the question of valuing the selling price at which you will sell this share does not really arise. Now let's talk about the estimated price of a preferred stock if your investment duration or investment horizon is finite or limited. For example, if you are planning to buy this preferred stock or invest in the preferred stock for a limited period of time, perhaps a month or 1 year or 2 years, then you do have to take into account the expected or forecasted selling price at which you will be able to sell this share. Now, our formula for the expected or estimated present price of the preferred stock in the case of limited investment horizon is equal to the sum of the dividends, cash flows over the future, plus the cash flow from the sale of the share in the future. So that formula is equal to the dividends or div divided by 1 plus R sub PE raised to the power T, where T is the appropriate number of years, plus P sub N divided by 1 plus R sub PE raised to the power N, where N is equal to the number of years after which you plan to sell this share. And P sub N refers to the forecasted or expected selling price at which you will be able to sell this share. Now, if you take a look at the formula for the estimated price of a preferred stock under limited investment duration, you will see that there are two kinds of cash flows, one associated with the dividends and the other associated with the selling price. The cash flows associated with dividends are the dividend cash flows, and the cash flow from selling this share in the future is the cash flow from capital gains or losses. A capital gain takes place when you sell the share at a price that is higher than the price at which you purchased it, and a capital loss takes place when you sell the share in the future at a price that is lower than the price at which you bought the share. Now, let's take a look at an example to help us better understand the present value or price calculations for a preferred stock. Of course, you will recall that these estimated prices are derived from the old present value formulas that we talked about in capital budgeting and our old formulas for annuity and perpetuity. So let's take a look at the case of a share of a company ABC. The market price of this share in the stock exchange is 13 rupees. The par value of this share, which is the value that is printed on the share, is 10 rupees. Let us assume that this company will be paying a dividend of 2 rupees per share. And now we need to figure out what our required rate of return will be as investors. As I mentioned, in Pakistan, the required rate of return should exceed 10%. And therefore, let us assume that the investor's required rate of return is 15% per annum. This required rate of return will vary from one investor to another. Different investors will have different required rate of returns depending on their risk profile. And we will talk more about this when we study risk and return in detail. So, for this particular example of company ABC's share, let's take a look at two cases. The first case is where we are interested in making a perpetual investment. This is the case where we plan to buy the share in the open market and hold on to it forever. In this case, the estimated price of the preferred stock or the present value is equal to the dividends divided by the required rate of return for the preferred equity. That's equal to div divided by R sub PE, which is equal to 2 divided by 1.15, and that is equal to 13.33 rupees. Now, this 13.33 rupees is the fair or intrinsic value of the share. This is the estimated price to you based on your required rate of return. The market price or the market value is 13 rupees. That is the actual price in the market. So, what does this mean? If the fair price for you is higher than the market price, that means that this share is worth more to you than its price in the market. Therefore, it is undervalued and you will gain value by buying it. So, it is a good investment for you. If you take a look at the second case, which is that of finite investment in the preferred stock, then the formula is that the estimated price or present value is equal to the sum of all the dividends discounted by 1 plus R sub PE plus the estimated selling price divided by 1 plus R sub PE raised to the power n. Let us assume that for the finite investment, we are planning to invest in this preferred stock for only 2 years, therefore n is equal to 2. So the present value or the estimated price of the stock is equal to 2 divided by 1.15 plus 2 divided by 1.15 squared plus 13 divided by 1.15 squared. You will notice that there are two cash flows taking place in the second year, and those two cash flows can be added. The final answer for present value is equal to 13.08 rupees. If you take a look at our two answers, you will note that the answer that we have obtained for the estimated price of the preferred stock for finite investment is less than that for the perpetual investment. And this is simply because the present value of the infinite dividend cash flow stream is more than the present value of the forecasted selling price. So now let's talk about the case of the common share and trying to estimate the price of a common share. The main difference numerically is that in the case of the common share, your future dividends are unpredictable and changing. That is because they will change depending on the net income of the company for that year and depending on how much the board of directors decide they want to distribute. What this means is that if we need to use the present value formula, then we have to estimate the forecasted dividends in the future. And that is a very difficult exercise. And it is a subjective exercise. Earlier in this course, we talked about the percent of sales method. And you will recall that the accuracy of the forecast might be good 1 year into the future. But when you talk about forecasting sales and income and cash flows and dividends 10 years from now, then it is a very difficult exercise. Nevertheless, if we talk about the case of a perpetual investment in a common stock, then our formula becomes quite similar to the formula for bond valuation. The present value or the estimated price of a common share under perpetual investment is equal to the sum of the future dividends discounted to the present plus the final selling price discounted to the present. However, because we are anticipating holding on to the share forever or perpetually, then the selling price becomes irrelevant because we are not planning to sell it. Another reason is that the discount factor becomes very, very large when n is large, or when n is infinity, then the discount factor becomes so large that the last term in the present value equation becomes very, very small. And you can remove that term from the equation as a very, very good approximation to the present value. So then we can estimate the price of a common share under perpetual investment to equal approximately the sum of the dividends divided by 1 plus R sub CE raised to the power T. Now, this is basically the individual sum of all the different future dividends discounted to the present. What is R sub CE? This is the required rate of return for investors who are investing in common equity or common stock. This R sub CE is not the same as the R sub PE that we spoke about a little earlier. In other words, the required return for investing in common stock is different from the required return for investing in preferred stock. Why? Because common stock are generally considered to be more risky than preferred stock. In preferred stock, you have a guaranteed fixed dividend that you will receive. But in common stock, there is no guarantee that you will be receiving any dividend. So the required rate of return for common stock is higher in order to compensate the investor for the greater risk or uncertainty. So now let's take a look at a simple case study that will help us to understand the price estimation for common stock. Again, let's assume that there is a company, ABC, whose shares are being traded publicly in the stock exchange. Let's assume that the market price of one common share of company ABC is 13 rupees, and that the par value of the common stock is 10 rupees. Let us assume further that you study the balance sheet and the financial statements, including the profit and loss and cash flow statements. You take a look at the annual report and you do some equity research into this company, and as a result you forecast the dividends for the next 2 years. This is your investment horizon. You are planning to make a limited investment for 2 years, and you estimate that the dividend in the first year will be 2 rupees, the dividend in the second year will be 4 rupees. Let us also assume that the required rate of return for you as an investor is 20% per annum. Again, this 20% is higher than the 10%, which is the minimum required rate of return in the country, because you can get that rate of return from a bank account. And this 20% is also higher than the required rate of return for the preferred stock of the same company, which was 15%. That is because the common stock is generally considered to be more risky than the preferred stock, and certainly more risky than a bank deposit in a solid bank. So let us calculate the estimated price of the common stock for company ABC. We will use our present value formulas. There will be two investment horizons that we will consider. First, we will take a look at the case of finite investment, which is limited to 2 years. In this case, the estimated price or present value is equal to 2 divided by 1.2 plus 4 divided by 1.2 squared plus 13 divided by 1.2 squared. You will note that there are two cash flows taking place at the end of year 2, which can be added up. The final answer for the estimated price is 13 rupees and 47 paisas. This is the estimated price. If we plan to invest in the common stock of company ABC for a period of 2 years, based on our dividend forecasts for 2 years. Now let's take a look at the case of a very long-term investment or a perpetual investment. In this case, we are stuck. And there's a very important reason for why we cannot calculate the present value using the formula that we just talked about earlier. In its present form, our formula for calculating the estimated price of a common stock under perpetual investment is not very practical. And later on, we will take a look at two models that will help us to approximate the estimated price for a common stock under perpetual investment. And those two models are the zero growth model and the constant growth model, which we'll talk about later. I would like to close the presentation of the new material for this lecture here and review some of the concepts that we have spoken about. We began by talking about the definition of a share. A share represents equity. It represents part ownership in a company. The share is a direct claim security. It is a piece of paper that is representative of ownership. A company can issue shares in order to raise capital. The shareholder is entitled to receive a portion of the net income or net profits from the company in the form of dividends. But this depends on whether or not a company makes profit that year, and it depends on the decision of the board of directors regarding how much money to pay out and how much to reinvest in the company. So the dividends in the case of the share are generally not predictable. However, in the case of the preferred share, the dividends are fixed. We spoke about the common characteristics of share certificates. In the case of Pakistan, generally, the par value of the share of a public listed company in the stock exchange is 10 rupees. However, the market price of the share fluctuates depending on the demand and supply for that share and the amount of confidence that the investors have in the financial and operational health of the company. We also mentioned that the share is different and distinct from a bond because a bond is a long-term debt instrument, whereas a share is an equity instrument. However, when we talk about valuation of stocks, then the principle is the same as that we've been using from the beginning of this course. Just like the present value of a real asset is based on the future cash flows that the assets generate, similarly, the present price or the present value of a share is based on the future cash flows that a share generates. We spoke about two kinds of shares. One kind is the common share, and this share is basically representative of ownership and it allows voting shares to the shareholders. However, the dividend that the common shareholders receive is unpredictable because it varies depending on the net income in the company and the decision of the board of directors. The other kind of share is the preferred share. And the preferred share basically is a hybrid or mixed equity instrument. In the case of the preferred share, the company fixes the amount of dividend that it will pay every year, and the stockholder knows exactly the value of the dividend that he will receive. So the cash flows in the case of the preferred stock are predictable. We went through the formulas for estimating the price or the present value of common shares and preferred shares, and we made a distinction in the duration of the investment or the time horizon. Depending on whether we plan to invest in the share for a very, very long period of time or perpetually, or depending on whether we plan to invest in a share for a limited or short period of time, the formulas for the present value will change accordingly. In the case of the preferred share, the estimated price is equal to the dividends divided by the expected rate of return, or rather the required rate of return for the preferred equity. This is the case for perpetual investment in preferred shares. For the case of finite or limited duration investment in preferred shares, the estimated price is equal to the discounted value of the future dividends plus the discounted value of the selling price. And in the case of the common share, we used the formula for present value or estimated price, which is similar to the price equation that we used to estimate the price of bonds. I would urge you to go through the slides in the supporting material that we sent to you in detail. With this, I would like to close this lecture on stocks. We will continue our discussion on stocks. Thank you very much for your kind attention and patience. Aapko Virtual University of Pakistan, Ministry of Science and Technology aur Mubashir Humayun ki taraf se bahut bahut shukriya. Khuda hafiz aur assalamu alaikum.